Okay, let's begin with a word of prayer. We're going to just take a little track from our study on 1 Corinthians 9 this morning, coming off of last Sunday. So let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, studying your word is so amazing. We get to study history, past, present, and future. We study, Heavenly Father, the death and resurrection of our Savior. Get to study things that deal with our personal lives, marriages, finance, things like that, Father. This book is just amazing. It covers everything, and we need no other book. Father, we pray your Spirit will open our eyes this morning to things about our own individual spiritual life. Father, we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, this morning what we're going to do, we talked about how the gift of apostle is now over. It was a short-term gift, even though in the present time it's being resurrected. Brian was just telling me of some organization out on 30, is it 35?
Yeah.
Yeah. That they're the new apostles. They get new revelation from God and all this kind of stuff. If I didn't believe the Bible so well, I'd say we're getting close to the time of the rapture, because apostasy is alive and doing well. And but let's take a look for a moment. I want to cover, not a long series, not 2 or 3 hours, just today, on spiritual gifts. It's been a long time since we covered them. Years ago, I did a long series on spiritual gifts. Everything you wanted to know and things you didn't want to know about spiritual gifts. But I just want to cover some broad ground, since it's been so long since we've covered this, and every one of you do have one. Now, I want to start off with an introduction. So let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Now, what we're going to see from 1 Corinthians chapter 1 is that the Corinthian church abounded in spiritual gifts, had spectacular gifts, and many of them. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and let's read verse 7. So that you are not lacking in any gift. Boy, that's quite a statement for a church. Not lacking in any gift, awaiting eagerly the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I just want to make a few comments, no points, about an introduction about the Church of Corinth. It is also obvious from the rest of the epistle of 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians that this is one of the most carnal churches in history, the Church of Corinth, that ever assembled in the name of the Lord. The Corinthians were noted for their envy, jealousy, spiritual bullying, litigations, divorce, drunkenness, and a lot of other carnal activity. Yet they abounded in spiritual gifts. Conclusion. The possession of a spiritual gift does not mean spirituality. Every Christian has a spiritual gift. Does not mean they're spiritual. If the Corinthians, with all their carnality, could have more people with spectacular spiritual gifts than any other church, and they did, yet they were so carnal, and they were immature as far as spirituality was concerned. It is important to distinguish between spiritual gifts and spirituality. It's a difference between spiritual gifts and spirituality. Now, spiritual gifts. And yes, the Bible talks about them and calls them that. And that means, one, they are in a spiritual creature, a born-again believer. That means, two, they are given by the Holy Spirit. Spiritual. But whether or not it comes out to the praise and glory of God is a whole nother issue. So it is important to distinguish between spiritual gifts and spirituality. A spiritual gift, for its proper function, depends on spirituality. For its proper function. Doesn't mean that it won't function without it. But for its proper function, depends on the filling of the Holy Spirit, which means they have to know how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. False teaching, based on legalism, emotionalism, and infiltrated the church at Corinth. Consequently, we're going to have chapters 12, 13, and 14 to refute the legalism and emotionalism there. Also, it was written to deal with some of the false impressions which came out of speaking in tongues. We'll come to that later. One of the abuses of the Corinthian church was that there were many people speaking in tongues, and they felt they were superior. They were spiritual giants. They were superior to others. People, get a few things down in your mind. Your spiritual gift does not make you superior. I have people come up to me, would you please pray for so? Why don't you pray? Oh, well, you're a preacher. You're in with God. No, I'm no more in with God than you are when you're filled with the Spirit. Got to understand that. Doesn't matter. Your spirituality has nothing to do with your spiritual gift. We'll come to what they're for in a few moments. But they're not the same. So a spiritually mature, wonderful believer can have what was considered, but it is not, but considered a lowly gift. But he can outshine the pastor. So spiritual gifts and spirituality have nothing in common. Spirituality is dependent upon the filling of the Holy Spirit. So please get these things in your mind. Put it in a humorous way. Old Brother Foot feels inferior to Brother Hand. Brother Hand feels inferior to Brother Head. Brother Head feels superior to all. I am filled with the Spirit. I have a long deal about the parts of the body. And if one part of your body decides to stop up, everything closes down. Everything closes down. Do you get what I mean? So, every part of the human body has its part in the function of the whole body. And is important. Just understand that. So, you can't feel superior or inferior because of your spiritual gift. If you want to talk in those terms, it has to do with the amount of time you spend in the Holy Spirit. So, the spiritual gifts you possess is not the important factor. The walking and the filling of the Spirit, following the Spirit, keeping in step with the Spirit, this is what's important. It's amazing how many churches have made a big deal out of spiritual gifts, not out of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, as we go into this, I want to begin by reading 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 7. So let's just take our text and open this. First Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians 12, and then we're just going to read through the first 7 verses for momentum of our study. Now, concerning spiritual, you'll note gifts is in italics in the New American Standard. It's not in the original. It's understood. Now, concerning spiritual, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. And that's why I'm spending this hour. I don't want you to be unaware. You know, maybe they do, maybe they don't. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to the dumb idols. all idols are dumb. I like it. It says to the dumb. Maybe we could just say dumb people as well as idols, but nevertheless. However, you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking in the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, can you say those words? Can an unbeliever say those words? Can a drunk say those words? Absolutely. He's talking about saying it with the soul in the sense of meaning it. Okay. Now, there are varieties. Note, gifts is not there. It's not understood. But the same Spirit. There are varieties of ministries. The same Lord whom they serve. And there are varieties of effects. But the same God who works all things in all. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good of the body. There's just a lot of things that I'm going to highlight that I want you to understand. And here's another one. Spiritual gifts are not for you. Spiritual gifts are for the body. My spiritual gift is not for me. It is not to make me a big shot. It is not to buy me a Rolex watch. It is not to give me this and get me that. It is for the body of Christ. Your spiritual gift is for the body. It is not for you. No one can base their importance or unimportance based on their spiritual gift. Your gift is for the body. The index finger is for the hand. The hand is for the arm. The arm is for the body. It all works together. There's no superiority. There's no inferiority. They all are part of the common good and purpose of the body. So whatever your spiritual gift is, it is not for you. It is not to exalt yourself, make yourself feel important or unimportant, as the case may be. It is for the common good of the body. Your concentration in dealing with your spiritual gift is for the local assembly. People who do not go to a church, people who prefer to stay, I call them, the idea was bed Baptists. They just stay in bed, watch TV. And they're not using their spiritual gift for the assembly. I don't care if they send in money. They're not using their spiritual gift for the assembly. It's for the assembly. This is one of the reasons Hebrews says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves. You get to use your spiritual gift. Every one of you have one. Everyone is important. I personally believe one of many reasons why a lot of people like to go to a mega church, no, nothing's put on them. They're not asked to sweep the hall. They're not asked to clean the bathroom. They're not asked to put up chairs, put up tables. They're not asked for anything. They walk in, sit down, and walk out and feel like they've done their work for the Lord. They're not using their spiritual gift. So you have to understand we all have spiritual gifts, and please note the end of verse 7, for the common good. That's the common good of the local assembly. Okay. Point two. This is all kind of under introduction. Point two. Each believer in the church age receives a spiritual gift at the moment of salvation. Every one of you did. 1 Corinthians 12:11. 1 Corinthians 12:11. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as He wills. When you believed in Christ, you received a spiritual gift. Now, let's say you have a spiritual gift and you're 7 years old when you believed in Christ. Well, probably the church isn't going to get much good out of you for a while. But it's for you to know as you grow in the Word and become an effective adult in that assembly, effective member in that assembly. Three, do not seek a spiritual gift. You do not earn or work for spiritual gifts. You do not get one on the basis of any human ability. Whatever gift you have is the sovereign decision of the Holy Spirit. You don't earn or deserve it. I don't know if James' spiritual gift is singing or if that's just his talent and his body. But I can tell you one thing. I believe he has a spiritual gift in regard to writing. What he does with my messages, you ought to see what I send him. On that Daniel stuff, you ought to see what I send him. And what do you get back? It's unbelievable. I mean, it is unbelievable. So, the spiritual gift, you don't earn, you don't deserve, you don't work for it, you don't get the basis on any merit. It's the Holy Spirit who gives it to you. Point four is a little complex. All members of the Godhead are involved in spiritual gifts. Since God the Father is the planner, the author, He decides the basis of the number of pastors, teachers, helps, gifts, everything that is needed. So look at 1 Corinthians 12:28, and God. Note it says, and God appointed in the church first apostles. Now we have other passages where Jesus Christ gives. I'll come to that. They're all three involved. That's my point here. All three members of the Godhead are involved in your salvation. All three members of the Godhead are involved in your spiritual gift. All three. Jesus Christ provided the basis for spiritual gifts. How do I know that? Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And let's read together verses 8 through 11. Ephesians 4, verse 8. Therefore it says, when he ascended, he, Jesus Christ, ascended on high, you have the resurrection and the ascension. He led captive a host of captives. That's the Old Testament saints. And he gave gifts to men, spiritual gifts. Now, this expression, he ascended. What does it mean except that he has also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is himself also he who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. He might fill all things. And he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastor teachers. The and there should be a hyphen, and I won't get into the Greek there, but it's a rule of Greek. It's pastor teachers. Okay. So that's Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit appoints the gift to persons. The Holy Spirit is the one who appoints these gifts. Look back at 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're going to look at verse 11. I'm at 2 Corinthians. Let me go to 1 Corinthians. 12:11. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as he wills. So all three members of the Godhead are involved. Every member, every believer, when you believe in Christ, receives at least one spiritual gift the moment they receive Jesus Christ as Savior. You do not earn it or ask for it. How would a new believer that didn't know a lot know what to ask for? The Holy Spirit knows. The Holy Spirit knows what's going to be needed in the local assembly where he will lead you. That's why you want to be led by the Holy Spirit in regard to assembly. So these things are so important to understand in regard to spirituality. All right, point five. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4 for point five. I'm just picking out a lot of main things here dealing with spiritual gifts. Ephesians 4, and we'll read 11 and 12, which we've already read. And he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastor teachers. Now look what it says. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building of the body of Christ. Okay, here you have the purpose of spiritual gifts clearly given to us. Look what it says. Equipping. Equipping for the equipping of the saints. What does that mean to be equipped? People, you have to be equipped with knowledge. You have to be equipped with truthful understanding of Scripture. You have to understand Scripture to get these things done for the local body. Let me give you some examples. This isn't our building, so we don't have the problem. But let's say we had our own building and we decide it needs a paint job. Well, I think blue ought to be it. Well, I think red ought to be it. I think black ought to be it. So we now have confrontation. Spiritual gifts come into play. Wait a minute. We just need to cover this wood. We need to keep it neat. This type of thing. Let's don't break. People, churches have been divided over mechanical things like that. What color are we going to put in the carpet in the church? Blue. Well, blue's in the sky. That should be green. See? And you can't believe the things that people get involved with when it comes to a vote. If you're going to vote on it. That's why, and similar, they taught us, there are certain things you don't want to vote. Do not put it up for vote. You put things up for vote, those who voted one way and it doesn't go their way are going to be upset. Some may even leave, and in fact do leave. Well, they don't care what I think. Well, I give a lot of money, and they didn't care what I wanted. I wanted it to be yellow, and they didn't want it, so I'm taking my money and leaving. See? So there's just some things you don't want to do that. You get bored, or as a group of the ministers in the church decide it's done, it's over, pay somebody to do it if somebody doesn't do it in the church, which is another spiritual gift of helps, and get it done. Spiritual gifts or helps is unbelievable to the function of the church. I give thanks, personal thanks, for Jim Langston, Julie Cooper, and Kit for our internet. People, we couldn't even begin to pay them what they deserve. Couldn't even begin to pay them. We couldn't begin to pay James for what he does in regard to the Daniel series. We couldn't pay Wes what he deserves for the piano. We give him a little token. That's all it is. Token. Give James a token. That's it. But gifts are needed. When I graduated from seminary, and a group here in Dallas wanted to have me to come in and candidate, and so I did. But one of the first things I told them, most of you people have been listening to tapes. Let me just tell you something. A church is far different than a tape. You're going to have to give money, and you're going to have to give time. We're going to have to clean the building. We're going to have to clean the bathrooms. We're going to have to clean the windows occasionally. We're going to have to do this. We're going to have to do that. So if you don't want to put yourself out, don't call a pastor. Don't do it. Make up your mind if you want an assembly of believers or not. Because if you have an assembly, there's things to be done. There's things to be done in this small... People, we have a very small... Yet I haven't checked the chart this week, but I know a couple weeks ago, that as far as the cleaning crew, it had a lot of empty months. Does it still have that, Wes? So, we need to clean this area. My wife swore that before I married, I never saw dirt. I never saw dust. I never saw things that need to be done. Well, when you do, they need to be done. Maybe that's why I didn't see them. Because I knew if I saw them, I'd have to clean them. See? But we have an assembly. These floors have to be vacuumed. We don't have thousands of people here, but the people we hear bring in dust. I'm sorry. So, and we have things that need to be taken care of. Food, when we have special events, clean up, all these kinds of things have to be done. This is what a common good of the local assembly is about. So, we have to remember these kinds of things in regard to the assembly and the receiving of them. So, the first of all, equipping. Equipping deals primarily with the teaching. Pastor-teacher, teachers for the young people. If we had a large, big church, we might have Sunday school. I'm not against Sunday school. Sunday school, really, in its foundation, was where some true Bible teaching originated in the modern church. Churches were so liberal, had gotten away, so far away from biblical truth, that an organization, I think out of Chicago, started Sunday school, there's that word. They had set it up where they would come into churches and teach the Bible. And then pretty soon, denominations decided we want our own and on forth. And pretty soon it was corrupted. But you've got to have teachers for that. You're going to have an assembly. You're going to have children. You're going to have to teach them. That's all there is to it. So we need teachers over there. Going to have a church. Going to have young people. Now, we don't have a big young people's group here. And I'm sorry we don't, but we don't. But we do once a summer. We need teachers. We need people to go out there and work. So these are the things that need to be done in the equipping of the saints. And then you have the next word in Ephesians 4:12, equipping the saints for the work of service. For the work of service. Every believer represents Christ and is necessary for the service in the local assembly. That's the type of thing that Jim Langston, Julie, and Kit do over here on the internet. It's the type of thing that James and Wes does as far as the singing, and Brian Cooper as far as our singing is concerned. So there are just certain things that we have to have done. And then it says to equipping the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ. So the edifying, building up of the body of Christ. And the building up of the body of Christ is encouragement, singing, planning different things. Now here, I'm sorry, I really am. We have a gathering once a month on communion when we eat together. I grew up in a church. They were always meeting together. All the time. And I loved it. It was edifying to the assembly. And those are the kinds of things that bring people together. Feel like, see, you get an assembly, we're all from different walks of life. Some are married, some are not married. Different ages, different problems, financial, marital, health, all these things. But we all come together with a common answer. Jesus Christ. The Word of God. So we need to edify one another. That's what Hebrews teaches. Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves, edifying one another, strengthening one another, encouraging one another. This is what an assembly does. It's what a family does, and this is a family. These are part of spiritual gifts. That's what this is, part of spiritual gifts. Do you need to know, I'll come to it later, but do you need to know what your spiritual gift is? No. You just say, you know what, this needs to be done, I'm going to get it done. I'm going to see if I can do this, see if this will be okay. You're probably moving toward your spiritual gift. Probably. Probably your spiritual gift being sparked by the Holy Spirit for the common good of the local assembly. So these are things that need to be done. We all have the responsibility to give. Some people have the gift of giving. We all have the responsibility to pray. Some people have the gift of prayer. I think Bill Risley has the gift of prayer. Gets up every morning and prays no less than an hour and a half to 2 hours every morning by himself. And he wouldn't miss a morning doing it, they say. And is it any wonder they lead so many people to Christ? Not at all. I think there's a correlation. So some people just have the gift of prayer. When I meet people who have the gift of prayer, I try to make sure my name is on their list. I do. I want to make sure my name is on their list. I want to make sure this assembly is on their list, because it's that important. So this different gifts come for the common good, the work of everyone together. So that's point eight. Okay. Let's see, that was point five, excuse me. Alright, point, now we come to point six. It is not necessary, that's what we were just talking about, to recognize your spiritual gifts for you to function under them. Function is dependent upon the filling of the Holy Spirit, knowledge of the Word of God. As you grow in the knowledge of Christ, you start just having that desire to serve. Rather than a knowledge of your spiritual gift, you have a knowledge of the Word of God that causes you to want to serve. I know a couple, sometime in our church history, small church we have, we know it, well, they wanted to serve. So, they met with me, we've got to leave, go to a church where we can serve, okay? Well, I won't go through all their difficulties, but they run into one disaster after another. One disaster after another in trying to serve. So, as it turned out, they separated. One of them came back and didn't get involved. I wanted to serve. Just decided, you know, I want to work with the young people. And now's the work with the young people. Don't try to figure out who I'm talking about. Just stay with the principal. So it is not necessary to recognize what your spiritual gift is, walk in the power of the Spirit, grow in the knowledge of Christ, be aware of other people, other things. It'll come to you. This is what my gift is. Now, unfortunately, in a big city and big churches, a lot of times we'd rather just give some money. But in the old days, people would bring chickens. Here, preacher, here's your chicken. Here, preacher, here's your bag of potatoes. What am I supposed to do with that? And here's this, here's that. And can I come over and help you build? John Hens had a man in his church who's home with the Lord, whom John misses immensely as a friend. But that man, anything John needed, the house, at the church, he was there doing it. Didn't even really have to ask him. He just knew where he'd be there. And I remember I went to visit one time, and their flagpole was kind of shaky, and I was out there fooling around. John said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Well, I'll just see what we might do with this flagpole." John just laughed at me. The next day, this man's over fixing the flagpole. I didn't ask him. I'm sure John didn't ask me. He just told him I'm going to tear up his flagpole. But people, we just have different gifts. And at different times in a church's history, they're needed. All of them are needed. So this is important in regard to spiritual gifts. For divine production from your spiritual gift, you need the filling of the Holy Spirit and knowledge of the Word of God. That's all you really need. He will lead you. He will lead you. People used to say, "How do you know when the leading of the Spirit is?" And the way you're preaching, you can just go sit on a park bench and it all work out. And at first I went, "Oh, okay, that isn't what I'm saying." But then I thought about it and said, "That's exactly what I'm saying. Go sit on a park bench. Commit yourself to the Holy Spirit in prayer. See what kind of thoughts start entering your mind." To most of you, Well, I need to go talk to this person. Where do you think that came from? I need to write this person. I need to do this for my husband, my wife, my children, my family, the church. Where do you think that came from? Now, I do agree that 10 to 15% of you, you'll sit on that bench for quite a while. But most will have a thought almost immediately of something the Holy Spirit will be leading you to do. So that's what you really need to know. All right, let's go to point seven. Point seven, spiritual gifts are the Father's organized witness. Not personal witness, but organized witness. Corporate body. Ah, look at Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2. I think my biggest regret when I'm dying will be the books of the Bible I didn't cover. And Do what?
Go faster.
Okay. I was thinking that same problem with Daniel. But people, every Sunday, I've looked over notes and where we're going, it's powerful stuff. I would not want to take out one of my lessons in Daniel. And we're getting ready today to go into one of the most important verses in the book of Daniel and in prophetic history. We're going to study the profile of the Antichrist. It is the greatest profile in one set of verses in all the Bible. It's powerful. And I'm supposed to just rush through these things? I can't. So all I'm going to do is I'm going to sit down with the Lord and say, did you really expect me to go through all those books or not? And I feel quite certain he's going to say, no way. No way. Only reason I will is because I have all eternity. And he'll go through them all. But let's look at Hebrews chapter 2, and let's look at verse 4. God also bearing witness with them, both by signs and wonders and by various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit according to His own will. People, our outreach is not individual. It's corporate. It's corporate. Getting it out on the internet. We used to do some publications. The young people, missionaries, it's a corporate. We work together. That's God's design of the body. That's why it's called a body of believers. And the body of Christ. Many spiritual gifts to fulfill God's function for the body. So this is God's design for corporate witnessing. Okay, point eight. Point eight. The attitude towards spiritual gifts is given in Romans 12:3. What should be your attitude in regard to spiritual gifts? Romans 12:3. I know I've told you before, but a lady wrote me an email and said, when we started Romans, I used to pray that the Lord would let me live till you finish the book of Romans. Now I just hope you'll let me live till you finish chapter 1. I was not amused. Alright, Romans 12:3. She's still alive, yes. And I am too, yes. For through the grace given to me, people, the most important thing you'll remember about spiritual gifts, it's grace. You don't earn or deserve it. You don't earn or deserve it. It's grace. I say to every man among you, not to think more, and that means man and woman, every believer, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. So your attitude towards spiritual gifts is that it's a grace gift. Didn't earn it, didn't deserve it. Did not earn nor deserve this gift. When you enter college, they give you this exam, and then you go talk to the counselor, and they're going to tell you what you best are prone to do in life. I will never forget when I went in to talk to my counselor. You are prone to be a lawyer. I went, no. I love the courtroom drama, but I've seen lawyers' offices and they're filled with books. And you have to study before you can go into the court office, the courtroom. And there's no way I'm going to spend my life studying. So, boom, there you go. God laughed. And then I realized, no, that's what you do in the ministry. So, people, you do not earn, you do not deserve, you're given a gift by God. It's grace. It's grace. Don't ever look down at it. You're looking down at the grace of God. Don't ever think yourself more exalted by it. Your arrogance is impugning the essence of God. Just realize your gift is by grace. The spiritual gift is given on the basis of spiritual or God's loving grace. The word gift should be your first clue. Always remember, gift. You don't earn or deserve a gift. If you earn or deserve it, it is not a gift. It is not a gift. It's earned and deserved. But if you're truly given a gift, it's not earned or deserved. That's what we try to teach people at Christmas. Well, isn't what I wanted. Well, where did you get the idea you earned it? What you want. No, you just say, thank you. I didn't earn or deserve this. I got this gift because somebody else was born, not because I was born. So you got to understand a gift in all giving. Husbands to wives to husbands, parents to children, and to one another. Gifts are just that. They're gifts. They're not earned or deserved. Spiritual gifts are not earned or deserved. God knows what's going to be needed at that local church that you will attend a certain amount of time. Boom, he gave you that gift. You did not earn or deserve it. It's not for you. It's for the common good. It's so that you will know how to fit in and help with the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So it is a gift. Paul, talk about earning gifts. Paul, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, or 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Let me show you something. The great apostle Paul, great spiritual gift, yeah. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me, because he considered me. Strengthened me because he considered me faithful, putting me into service. Paul was the worst sinner. He said, I'm the most sinful of all. Now, why does he say that? He wasn't a hellraiser. He was legalistic. And he understood that a legalistic sinner is the worst sinner, because he puts himself up as being okay with God. Doesn't need anything. I'm okay with God. That's a far greater sin than somebody out raising hell. They're not pretending that they're with God. One of the most disgusting things to me is when somebody pretends to be this great Christian and they're not. In their life with their husband, their wife, their children, their friends, their family, church, they're arrogant, self-righteous, legalistic. But boy, they think they're just so wonderful. Turns me shut. I can't stand them. I'd rather go out and witness to a good old sinner who knows he's no good. That person I can talk with. Well, that's Paul. He was a sinner. He was the most legalist. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. And at the height of his climbing in Phariseeism, he was out killing Jews who believed that this Jesus was the Messiah, the Christ. He sought to put him to death. So here God picks him and makes him a great apostle. Okay. Any questions? Okay. So I just wanted to spend some time with you on spiritual gifts. And now I didn't want to cover a lot of things. There are two categories: permanent, temporal. Permanent all the way through the church age, temporal at the beginning of the church age, like apostles and these kind of things. But these are just enough of points to get us all started and coordinated as far. And one of those rare times, I'm finished. I have no more to say. So we'll close. Go eat some donuts. All right. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for your word that reveals to us things about ourselves, areas that we have no right to being arrogant, boasting of ourselves and our spiritual gifts. We have no right to feel shame, to feel lowly, dealing with a gift that you've given to us. Father, we pray that take the things that we've seen this morning from your text. You will let it settle in our souls that we will become servants of Christ for the common good. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.